Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome back to Simply Serie A, the Italian football podcast brought to you by Sofa Sports Media. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeu, and on this week's edition, we'll be looking back at the international break, discussing how Italy got on. We'll be looking ahead to week 29's Serie A fixtures and touching on some of the other major talking points to have come out of Italy in the last week or so. Joining me, as always, are my two regulars and Italian football experts, Tommy Milanese and Vittorio Campanile. Welcome again, guys. Tommy, first of all, how are you doing?
Doing amazing, man. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. Can't complain. Mr. Vittorio, how are you, sir?
I think I'm not great as Tommy. I mean, with all those goals Quagliarella scored, I think he's still celebrating.
Tommy, I'm sure he'll be telling us plenty about Fabio Quagliarella tonight.
Let's not talk about Messi, though.
No, not Messi. This is the Serie A podcast. Let's talk about Quagliarella instead. That's fine. We're going to start off with the international break now. First of all, I want to get you guys' thoughts on the fact that there is an international break so close to the end of the season and right in the mix of some of the most important fixtures. You know, it feels like it doesn't quite fit in the calendar. Vittorio, what are your thoughts on that? Because I know here in the UK, people are, to put it politely, they're a little bit pissed off that the season is stopped at this stage when things are starting to heat up for internationals to come in. What do you make of it all?
I think everybody hates the international break, to be honest with you. And I think this is the worst. This is the one that usually is a beginning of September that years ago it was like the first day of Serie A, then the international break, and then they start again, which was terrible because we just started. Why the international break? So, yeah. You know, the problem is the national team has to fit all those matches, qualification, friendly and so on. So they have to find a date and it's never easy. But yeah, you know, this is pretty much the only break the Serie A has till the end of the season. So maybe for some team it's positive.
Tommy, your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I myself look forward for the football every week and it's quite annoying when it's not there. But at the same time, like, you got to do it. Like, if you need to qualify for the Euros, for the World Cup, whatever it is, like, you got to do it at some point. And I think for the players as well, it can be nice maybe to kind of unplug, you know, the brain for a bit from the Serie A, from the all the competition stuff, and kind of have a good time. Because I think the players have a good time when they go to the national team. You know, they're all supposedly friends, or I mean, at least some of them. And, you know, matches like this against, like, Italy, we play Finlandia, Liechtenstein, they're not as hard as well. I think it's nice. And to be fair, I don't mind it. I love to watch Sampdoria. I love to watch big games. But then at the same time, I also love to get around with my friends, especially since I've been living in London now, to meet with my Italian friends, which I don't see very often, and just get together and watch a national team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, I'm kind of a little bit torn on this one because on the one hand, I hate the fact that there's no football and you know, the weekend becomes a little bit boring. But on the other hand, I get to spend some time with my family, which I probably don't do enough when there's football on. You know, sadly, my calendar's based around football. I'm sure it's the same for you guys. But, you know, so now and again, it's nice to have a break. But I can also understand the frustrations, given that we're in the business end of the season now, and all of a sudden there's an abrupt halt. But talking about internationals, of course, the Azzurri got their Euro 2020 qualification campaign off to an absolute flyer. 2-0 victory over Finland, followed by a 6-0 win over Liechtenstein, meaning that Mancini's side are now sitting pretty at the top of Group J. 2 points clear of Greece in second, my team, incidentally. And of course, the two will meet in June in the next qualifier. Vittorio, starting with yourself, you know, it's been a bit of a disappointing period for Italian football in terms of the national team of late. But there are signs, aren't they, that Mancini's got them on the right track. What is your thoughts on that?
Yes, I thought Mancini did a great job. It's too early to see if we're going to have those results that everybody's hoping, but at least the start is very positive. And I wasn't so convinced about Mancini as a national manager, but he's doing very well. So, yeah, the biggest achievement Mancini had was the one to make finally the Italian team play a nice football. That was something that didn't happen in the last 4 or 5 years. Even with Antonio Conte, where the team was still good, we didn't play nice football like we're doing now. So that's really positive. He's adding some young talent. So yeah, I think it's all going really well. We have to look forward to better tests, you know, more challenging tests before giving a judgment to this national team. But at least the beginning is positive, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that was Italy's, well, the 6-0 win was Italy's biggest win for 57 years. Tommy, Vittorio mentioned the word there, young, because there are a lot of young players. But one player in that squad who's not young but continues to set things on fire is Fabio Quagliarella. You're a Sampdoria fan. You're a massive Quagliarella fan. I mean, is this guy going to just carry on breaking records forever? I mean, what do you make of it? It's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have any more words for him, really. He's an absolute hero. And he was, if I was, one of the biggest reasons why I was really looking forward for these Italian games. And I knew he was going to score. And I'm kind of not really upset, but a little bit upset if they both came on it on penalties. Because, you know, a lot of people like to say, yeah, you know, he's scoring a lot of goals, but they're all penalties. But if you look at it, when he came on against Finland in the first game, he came on in the last 10 minutes. And he did way more than Immobile did for the whole game. I mean, sorry for Vittorio, but he did, like, he hit the post in an incredible shoot and header as well. He did a miracle to keeper. You can see that was there, and he was really hungry for a goal. Like, and that's amazing. And then that's definitely deserved the start against Liechtenstein. And even then, before the penalty was awarded, he had three, four chances when, again, the keeper was very good and it was really going for it. And even the first penalty that was given, it was a header, and it kind of looked like it went over the line. You know, they didn't have to go like technology, whatever. But then, you know, the defender just hit it with a hand and they give a penalty. So, again, slightly the only thing, if you have to look at the only bad side, is that it came off a penalty. And a lot of people need to like to talk and complain, you know, any situation. But yeah, he broke another record, the oldest player in Italy to score for a national team. Not the first record that he breaks this season. And I see that everyone in the audience were like cheering for him. And like when he came on against Finland, like before he came on, when it was like a World Big Up and it was almost coming on, everyone was already cheering for him. It's a bit of a national hero. And for some of our fans like me, obviously, it's an absolute hero. But I like Vittorio said, I really like the way this Italy team is, because it's a lot of young players, but it's not just young players. It's a good mix. If you look at the lineup for the first game against Finland, for example, there was a lot of youngsters: Keane, Barella, which scored, Bernardeschi is still a youngster, Donnarumma, Biraghi. You know, but then at the same time, there was also some older players like Chiellini, Bonucci, you know, even Jorginho, which is not super young anymore, same for Immobile. And then the second game, there was Quagliarella there, and, you know, again, Jorginho, Sirigu, but then a lot of young. So I think it's a good mix, and Mancini is finding a good balance. And I think it's very beneficial, especially for young players like Keane, for example, to play next to Quagliarella and see his movements, his hunger for goal, his experience. It can only benefit him and make him a better player.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned that Quagliarella broke the record oldest player to score for the Italian national team at 36 years and 54 days old.
54 days.
That's right. Vittorio, Quagliarella, you know, Mancini's been speaking about him after the game, and he said that he won't rule him out of the Euro 2020 squad. Now, given that he's 36 years of age, and, you know, Mancini's made the point that he is here on merit, and that's absolutely right, but is that a bit of an unrealistic expectation to expect this guy to continue for another 2 years at this level and then sort of for Italy to pin not all their hopes, but, you know, to rely on him in a tournament of that size?
Well, I don't think he's going to be the starting striker. So this changed a lot of things. I think he's trusting Keane to keep improving and be the starter, with Immobile maybe playing near to him. And Quagliarella can be, you know, the players that maybe come in the last 10, 15 minutes if the situation is complicated and maybe can fix it. Let's not forget that if going forward, players are, you can see Cristiano Ronaldo, they're so professional that these days they're able to keep the level high even, you know, when they're 34, 35, 36. So we have to see how Quagliarella can do. But, you know, even playing with Sampdoria, he's not forced to play 100% during the season, so he can sort of control himself. How often have we seen players near to a big competition like the Euros or the World Cup a little bit slowing down during the season in the Serie A, in the league, when, you know, everything is out of achieve and they have to keep themselves fit for the Euros? So I think if Quagliarella is able, it's going to be difficult to predict now, but I don't see why it cannot happen.
Yeah, I mean, Tommy, moving on to Keane, who we've spoken about, Vittorio's mentioned him a couple of times as well. There's really high hopes for him in Italy, isn't there? Do you think that this guy is the real deal? You know, in a couple of years' time, for example, can you see him being ready to start as the main man up front for Italy? I've seen some bits and pieces of him. Admittedly, I haven't watched many games where he's featured for a long period of time, but there's certainly something about this kid, isn't there?
Well, yeah, he's definitely a great player. Like, we can all agree on that. I really like the fact as well that he is, you know, he can play as a striker, but he can also play as a kind of a winger. So he, you know, he can do both the roles quite well, and that's very good. I think he's going to have a great future in front of him. However, we know that media loves to praise a youngster, you know, and I mean, I don't want to jinx it to him or anything. But we've seen in the past that so many young players at his age, they were doing well. They broke some records, you know, and everyone thought they were going to be the new Inzaghi, the new Shevchenko, the new Crespo, the new, you know, they always say they always love to do this. And then it didn't turn out that way. For example, Balotelli, which, I mean, he still had a great career, and don't get me wrong, but everyone thought he could become one of the best in the world, one of the best Italian strikers ever, or even El Shaarawy, which, I mean, again, he's doing good as a Roma, but everyone thought he could become, you know, incredible. Or even, like, I mean, I remember, like, Kiko Makeda, do you remember? It was Man United, and Ferguson thought he was incredible. He came to Sampdoria, I played all 4 hours in Serie B, and many, 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 many more examples. So I think the way the media praises youngsters is not very healthy from them, because you really need to be down to earth and, like, keep working hard and don't get spoiled. And nowadays, especially, it's very hard to get spoiled for the big salaries that you get, for the big media talks around you, for people like Mino Raiola, which is obviously one of the best at his jobs, but he's also very good at, like, ruining people or fame. So, again, he's a great player. He's got, you know, a good future in front of him. He's playing with players like Cristiano Ronaldo, Mandzukic in the national team, Immobile and Quagliarella, which, again, it can only benefit him. I think it's really up to him. I was going to handle this pressure. I was going to handle all these expectations. But yeah, definitely, I think he will probably need to leave Juve, because I don't think he's going to start for Juve for at least a few years, obviously, because, you know, Juve has Cristiano Ronaldo, they might get Icardi, or who knows who they're going to get. So it's not going to start for them. So I think for him, it would be nice to leave go to a maybe mid-tier team, like maybe Fiorentina or even Sampdoria. Like, if when Quagliarella would retire, I would love to have a player like Keane, or even like next to Keane next year, you know, if the Frel, I mean, we're not going to keep the Frel anyway. So, yeah, I think Sampdoria would be a good team for him, or Fiorentina, or a team like that. And yeah, I think he definitely has the potential to become one of the best.
Vittorio, what about Mario Balotelli? Because this is a guy who had so much promise, so much potential. He came to the Premier League for a little while as well, worked, of course, under Mancini at Manchester City. Is there any way back for him in the Italy setup? Because he seems to be scoring goals now in France with Marseille. You know, famously, he's been taking selfies in his goal celebrations, which is just so Mario Balotelli, isn't it? But can you see him forcing his way back into the reckoning here and getting back in and amongst the Italian squad?
Yes, I think he can. And the fact that there's Mancini as his manager, it's a big factor for him. It's very positive. But he has to deserve it. And now he's scoring, but let's not forget how the season started. So, again, as Tommy was saying, everybody was praising Balotelli 5-6 years ago. It looks like the biggest thing Italy have, the biggest player Italy have. Unfortunately, these days, it's not only talent. If you are a very talented player, still you can not get anywhere. It's being very, very professional, like Cristiano Ronaldo. Everybody can say that Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi are the best players of the world, but Messi had the talent. Cristiano had to work out and become as good as he is now. So Balotelli is not doing that. He has talent, but you have to train. You have to work hard to keep it up and improve day after day. He's not doing it. So I think he has the talent, and if he works hard, he's going to be there, especially because his relationship with Mancini, but he has to work hard. And this is the same thing that Keane has to do. And on this point, I don't agree that much with Tommy. If I would Keane, I would try to find my way in Juventus. And I think that maybe next year he's going to play more, because Mandzukic has just renewed his contract, but he's not very young. I don't think he's going to be able to play all those matches. And maybe Keane can start playing near Cristiano Ronaldo and improve. And why I'm saying this, because playing for Juventus is a big responsibility, and it's not like playing with Lazio, Sampdoria, etc. So every match is very important. Every match you have to turn on and play at your maximum level. And like this, you become a real champion. You become a difference maker. And Keane now has to prove it. You were saying, I didn't see that many matches of Keane. Yeah, of course. He started 3 matches this year. And one was in Coppa Italia, you know. So last year, Verona was really, really curious, because everybody already was talking about Keane. I think when he was in Primavera, they were already talking about him. And I don't know if you remember, guys, he missed the penalty. When was it? At the semi-final of the Primavera Cup, something like that? And everybody was talking, he's another Balotelli, you know, big talent. And then look what he did. He did the Panenka penalty, and the keeper stand still and blocked it. And I don't remember if Juventus lost, etc. But big rumors about that. Verona as well, he played terrific matches, and he didn't turn on and play sometimes. So I think he has to play with a big team, so he understands that every single match is important. Every single match you have to play top football. I think he has the talent. He has the physique. So, he has to prove to be a Juventus player. Because if you're a Juventus player, then you can play with a national team.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And a couple of other bits to touch on from the international break before we move on to look ahead at the week 29 fixtures. Cristiano Ronaldo picked up a knock. He's saying, isn't he, in the headline, it was a headline today, I think, in Tutto Sport, he said, Ajax, I'll be there. So, I mean, he's obviously pretty confident that he's going to make it. Tommy, you know, is this just Ronaldo sort of giving himself hope? But he seems to me like the kind of guy that even if he wasn't 100% fit, he'd make sure he's available.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I read something on Twitter the other day that was like, oh, Ronaldo just faked an injury so then he can come at the last minute to Ajax and be the hero. Which obviously, you know, obviously I don't believe it. But yeah, it's quite unfortunate for him. But at the same time, it couldn't gone, you know, it couldn't be worse. It could have been much worse, and he could have missed the game against Ajax. Like you said, he will never miss the Ajax game. He will never miss a Champions League game because he loves to prove that he's the best. And Champions League, obviously, is the biggest stage to prove it. So, yeah, even if he's not fit, he will definitely start or playing the game. And it'll probably make a difference, even if he's not 100%. I mean, we all know how what an incredible player he is. And you know, Juventus definitely need that. Keane is amazing, of course, but in the Champions League game, you need Ronaldo.
Yes, Tommy, Tommy, sorry, but if I'm Allegri, I don't play Cristiano Ronaldo if he's not 100% fit. Don't you agree with me?
Sure. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, the risk that he gets injured again and he missed 1 or 2 months, I think, and I don't know if you agree with me, that Juventus can still beat Ajax even without Cristiano Ronaldo. Yeah. I'm too optimistic. Or?
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, we're just saying that he will, I mean, he could probably make it even to the game before Ajax, but he will not play that for sure because he wants to make sure that he's ready for Ajax. You know what I mean? Definitely, if he's not 100%, he's not going to start. But even if it's 80%, I think he will start. And I think Allegri doesn't really have a saying. If Ronaldo says, I want to start already, I think he'll, you know, there's not much he can do.
That is an interesting point. And I agree with that. I think Ronaldo is calling the shots.
Yeah, but that's why a manager is paid that money, right? He has to make the tough decision. And I can understand saying to Cristiano Ronaldo, you're not playing today in the Champions League. It's pretty hard. But at the end of the day, you have to make the decision that's best for the team and not for the player. So, you know, thinking about how important Cristiano Ronaldo is, and I still believe, honestly, that Juventus can beat Ajax even without Cristiano Ronaldo. I think it's a tough decision to make from Allegri. But if I'm Allegri, I probably, if the doctor doesn't say, trust me, there's no concern if he plays, I don't play him, honestly. And maybe...
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you, but one thing about Ronaldo that I'm not the biggest fan of Ronaldo, and I think you guys know it. But really? one thing that you gotta give to him is that an incredible professional guy, and he really, really look after his body, and he really knows his body. That's what he said in the past, and I think it's true. So I think he will be able to say, even without the doctor, say, you know, that if he can start or not. And I mean, especially this season, the Messi is breaking every record. He needs to play. He needs to catch up, you know.
Yeah, I mean, time will tell on that one and how that will unfold. Another player who deserves a mention from this international break is Milan's Paqueta, who went to play for Brazil, I believe. Tommy, is that for the first time?
He played with the number 10 for the first time.
Okay.
Which is obviously a big deal for Brazil. I mean, for every team, I guess, but for Brazil, you know, Pelé and other Ronaldinho and other incredible players wore it. And I think he did great. Like, the goal was very nice. It was such a Paqueta goal. I mean, he didn't score that many to get a name for it. But, you know, playing like as a mezzala, as a CM in the midfield, we know, we saw in Milan that he loves to get into the action. He loves to get in the box and there's a cross or whatever. And that's what he did. And his goal, to be fair, it reminded me a lot of the goal that he scored. I don't remember against who, but his first goal with Milan, it was quite similar, to be fair. So, yeah, fair play to the guy.
So it was a well-deserved selection. Vittorio, do you agree?
Well, he has been, I don't want to say the surprise because Milan paid him a lot, but how often did we see Brazilian players coming maybe in January and struggle to adapt to the Serie A football? It's a different world from Brazilian football, etc. So it's never very easy to adapt. Instead, he came in and it looks like he was playing Italian football since he was 5. So
that was
really surprising for me. And so, you know, this could be a very important signing for AC Milan. And he's proving everybody that he's a great player.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with Dora. It was a quite surprise for me as well. I expected to take way longer than it did to adapt. I definitely agree with that.
So we're all pleasantly surprised then, all of us.
Yeah.
Let's look ahead right to week 29's fixtures, which is this coming weekend. Just going to quickly run the fixtures off. Bologna, Sassuolo, Chievo versus Cagliari, Fiorentina versus Torino, Frosinone versus Spal, Inter versus Lazio, Juve versus Empoli, Parma versus Atalanta, Roma versus Napoli, that's a huge one, and Sampdoria versus Milan, another big one, and of course, Udinese host Genoa. So there's lots of really, really interesting fixtures this weekend, and I've just picked a select few. And what we're going to do is we're just going to run through, get your guys' thoughts on those fixtures, and we're going to get some predictions. This is the first time on Simply Serie A. We're going to take some predictions. And next week, we're going to look back at these predictions and see just how much of Italian football experts you guys are. I don't expect to get any right, but I expect you to.
What do we win?
That I'll have to decide in the week. Right, let's start with Inter versus Lazio. Vittorio's team, of course. Vittorio, how do you see this one going? Inter have confirmed now that Stefan de Vrij will probably miss the game. Can Inter build on the victory over Milan, or will the international break have disrupted their momentum?
Well, we don't know. And even Lazio was playing great before the international break. So we'll see who lost the momentum there. It's funny to note that De Vrij is going to miss the third match against Lazio this season. He have never played against Lazio. And this is the 10th match he's going to miss, and three of them were against Lazio. This is unbelievable. It's really, I don't know the stats, but it's really very hard to achieve, to get this result. It's going to be a very difficult match. I think a draw could be the most, the final result, maybe 1-1. Icardi start training with the team. I don't think he's going to start. I don't know if he's going to be called for this match, but there's positive sign there. I think Lazio's playing better, but Inter have won the derby, so they're very fired up. So I think a draw could be the best result. It won't help either teams, but I think that's the most possible result for the match.
Tommy, how do you see this one going?
All right, I'm not going to start copying Vittorio and everyone as well, but I was really thinking of a 1-1 as well. I think it's more, I agree with him, it's a more realistic result for the reason that he said, that we're both in a good, you know, good form, good momentum, and yeah, realistically, I think a draw would be the thing. About the Vrij, very quick, I read someone writing on Twitter the other day that, you know, he said, I mean, I don't think it's true, but he said that the Vrij has like a secret thing in the contract when he signed for Inter that he cannot play against Lazio, and they like kind of pretend there's injuries every time. I mean, I don't know. It's just funny. But yeah,
well, wow.
Yep.
Well, in the first leg, he wasn't injured. Spalletti didn't play him because he said he couldn't play because the Stadio Olimpico will all whistle him, and maybe he could make a mistake like he did last season in Lazio Inter, where he gave the penalty to Icardi.
Oh my God. That must have been awful for you.
Yeah, let's not talk about it.
Sorry.
So you're both going for a draw on this one. I'm going to write these down, actually, so we can have a look back at them next time around, of course. Guys, there's no pressure, by the way. It's just a bit of fun. But, of course, I will be pulling you up if you're way off the mark. Tommy, the next one, Sampdoria versus Milan. Your team, Sampdoria, of course. What are your thoughts on this one? And of course, your prediction for it.
Right, this is a very tough one because I would say that I have a feeling that we can make it, we can actually make it. And Milan, obviously, they were coming from five wins in a row, then they lost the derby, but they had time now to kind of recover. Not too many of their players went on international break, only Donnarumma, Romagnoli, and Paquetá, and Rodriguez. So not too many, Piatek as well, sorry. But Suso, Çalhanoğlu, Bakayoko, Kessié, like, there was a lot of players that they're going to start against us that didn't go in the international break, and that's good for them. So they're definitely going to, they won that fourth place, but we want to be in Europe, and we're at home. And I know that a lot of fans are going to turn up, it's going to be sold out. So I don't know, but at the same time, as I always say every episode, basically, Sampdoria is that kind of team that it's there whenever it's there, and you need that extra little step to be kind of, you know, to quite make it, then we always fail. So this could potentially be the case. And looking at the lineup, we're having a bit of problems with injuries. It looks like Ramirez is going to start again, because in Sampdoria we have two trequartisti, which is Ramirez and Saponara, and Gianpaolo loves to play either of them. But we didn't have any of them for the past two games, so he started De Vrij as a trequartista, as a CAM, and he actually played very well with Sassuolo. He played very well. He scored. He didn't assist. So I don't know. The headlines are saying that Ramirez is going to start, even though he hasn't played for 3 weeks. So that is a big concern for me. So I will make De Vrij start, really, over him. So that's a bit of a concern for me. But I think we can make it. And I'm going to be a bit ambitious here. And I'm going to go for the 2-1.
That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear, Vittorio. your never thoughts? Well,
a little bit agree with Tommy. I think Gianpaolo is a better manager than Gattuso, and he can find ways to trick AC Milan. He's very offensive, mind manager. He's a smart manager, and I think he's better than Gattuso. So, you know, he can find a way to create problems to Gattuso, like Spalletti did at the Derby. So that's why I think Sampdoria can be very dangerous. And maybe, you know, Quagliarella, after the performance with the national team, is so fired up that he's going to be unstoppable against Milan. So I think it's a very tough match. And as I said in the last podcast, this is a match where you can really feel if a manager is good enough. And so it's going to be a nice test for Gattuso. And if Piontek doesn't score, and he didn't score in the last match with Poland, it can be tough for AC Milan to win this match. So I would say 2-1 for Sampdoria, but I can see even a draw.
So which one are you going for then? Are you going for the 2-1 or the draw?
The 2-1, let's go.
Okay, 2-1. Right, noted. Moving on, Roma versus Napoli. Can Ranieri get it right? You know, how will Napoli approach this? Do they have an eye firmly fixed on the Europa League now? Tommy, your thoughts on this one at the Olimpico?
Well, this is another tough one, right? Because we said in the past episode that Napoli is not really playing for anything else, while Roma is really playing for the fourth spot. But I'm a bit confused, really, like what Roma's going to do from here to the end of the season. And I saw that El Shaarawy got injured as well, which it's quite a bummer. Now I saw that they're going to play with a 4-4-2 that Ranieri loves, and we didn't really talk good about it. Perotti is going to start, and Zaniolo as a kind of wingers in the 4-4-2. But Perotti never played that in his career because he from Genoa was playing for 4-3-3, so it was for Roma and even before Genoa. So he literally never played that. So I don't know how it's going to do, really. I don't know how well it's going to do the defensive side. So, again, I don't have much hope on Roma. And I think Napoli is still going to take this home quite comfortably. And I say 2-0 for Napoli, yeah.
Okay, Vittorio, your thoughts on this one. Your City rivals, of course, Roma. Claudio Ranieri hasn't had a great time so far. How do you see this one panning out?
Yes, it's true, but every time Napoli play against Roma, they struggle. Every time, even last year, there was favourite and they was able to lose. So it's never easy. I don't know why for Napoli playing against Roma. And even now, yes, El Shaarawy is out, Florenzi is out, so Ranieri will have to find some solution. But I don't think it's going to be easy for Napoli to win this. Napoli is not playing amazing football. There have been some players ill, right? They have fever, and the Poland national team had some players getting fever thanks to Milik. So we have to see who's going to play. That's the most important thing. But I don't think it's going to be that easy for Napoli. I can see Roma maybe achieving a draw, you know, 1-1 because, well, Olsen is a terrible goalkeeper. Again, he made three terrible mistakes with the national team yesterday. So I cannot see Napoli not scoring. But on the other side, yeah, you know, it depends how Roma plays. But I think they can achieve a draw, 1-1.
Okay, 1-1. Interesting. My predictions on the three, and I'm going to give mine as well. You know, not that anybody's interested, but I'll give them anyway. I'm going to go for Inter 1, Lazio 0. I'm going to go for Sampdoria 1, Milan 2. And I'm going to go for Roma 1, Napoli 1. So those are my three predictions. We'll see if any of them come to fruition. Who knows? You never know, I suppose. Right, let's look at some other news stories before we wrap it up. Now, I was reading something today about the San Siro, an iconic stadium in the European football scene. And I understand that Milan and Inter have agreed to demolish the San Siro, which has sparked all sorts of controversy in the city, with politicians warning that they'll look to force some sort of referendum on the subject. And if they get a certain amount of signatures, they can do that. I don't know if you guys want to shed a little bit more light. I don't know if I've explained that well enough. Vittorio, What is going on with the San Siro? And how could they even think about knocking down such an iconic stadium?
Well, this is just an idea. I don't think it's not their property, so they have to talk with the mayor of Milan, I believe, before doing this. But yeah, biggest discussion these days in Italy is build new stadium, property stadium of the clubs. And we know what's happening in Rome, and Inter and Milan are both thinking about building a stadium. So they started thinking building a stadium, but then where do they build them? And then they thought, well, let's work together. I think Elliot suggested to use the San Siro and spare them, you know, Inter and Milan playing at the same stadium like it's happening in Munich. But they said San Siro has to be rebuilt completely because it's not a modern stadium anymore. I don't know. I'm honestly not very convinced about that. Those stadium has to be like that, you know. Yeah, you can change it a little bit, but the San Siro has to be stay the San Siro. I don't know how it's going to move on from there. I don't see it happening, honestly. So I'm not convinced. I think it's just a rumors, just talking to maybe achieve, okay, we're not going to use the San Siro, we're going to build a stadium near there, but you have to concede these lands to us. I think that's what's going to happen.
I hope they don't knock it down, because for me, and I've always said this to friends, and the San Siro is, for me, the greatest football stadium I've ever been to. I was fortunate enough to be there when Arsenal beat Inter by 5-1. Do you remember that night, Thierry Henry hat-trick? You know, for me, it's an amazing place, and I don't ever want to see it change. I love the fact that it's old. I love the fact that it's traditional. Tommy, where do you think this situation is going to end up?
Well, it's tough to say. I agree with Vittorio. First of all, yeah, what he said is very, very, very important. San Siro is not property of neither Milan or Inter, so they can have an idea, they can propose their plan to the government and stuff. But ultimately, it's not their decision. It would be such a shame. It would be, because I understand that now every team wants to have a new stadium, modern infrastructures and stuff. That helps, in the revenue. We see what's going on, especially here in the Premier League. Like, Arsenal built there quite recently. Spurs just built their new one, and apparently, I was at the launch event, so it's actually very nice. And everyone is looking for it to make a new stadium. And but at the same time, like, it's so sad. Everyone's saying San Siro. I think every single Italian fans, even if you don't support Inter Milan, has a great memory there, whether it's your team doing something there or the national team, or even, like, I remember when I was a kid and I saw Milan beating Man United 3-0 there. It was one of the best games I've ever seen, with Kaká and Seedorf and stuff. So there's so many memories there. It would be such a shame to demolish it. And it's tough to say, man. Like, I saw that there's other teams, like Barcelona, for example, that they have the Camp Nou, which is an old stadium as well, and they're not going to demolish it, but they are going to invest a lot of money on making it completely new. So I don't know, maybe that could be a solution. Is there something you can do with San Siro? I don't know. But I really hope it's not going to, even if they don't want to play there anymore, even if they want to build a new stadium, I think San Siro should be there at least for the national team or for other kind of events or even concerts and stuff. It's such an iconic place. It would be almost like demolish the Colosseum, you know?
Yeah, I mean, what I struggle to understand is, if these two clubs, obviously they hate each other and nobody really wants to share a stadium with their biggest rivals, why have they sort of ganged up and got to this idea of knocking it down? I would have thought that Milan and Inter would have wanted to go on and build their own grounds. Vittorio, am I way off the mark here? But I just think that that makes more sense, does it not?
Well, that was the original plan, but we didn't mention that building a new stadium costs a lot of money. And all clubs try to save money. You're an Arsenal fan. You remember how much Arsenal had to pay for build the new stadium and what happened in the transfer market the years afterwards.
Absolutely. I'm still not over it.
So building the stadium together, obviously, it costs. You know, you're going to pay a half of it. I'm going to pay the other half of it. So that makes sense. And yes, the rivalry is not that big. I mean, Milan Inter fans hate Juventus much more than Milan, and the same way around. So they can live together. The thing is, if you have to build a stadium outside the city, no one's going to go. So San Siro, it's probably the perfect space to build it. But I think instead of bringing it down, just improve the stadium at the moment and make it better. It's already one of the best Italian stadiums, so you don't have to do that much. And the capacity, I don't think both Inter and Milan need a stadium so big to fill it up every time. Yeah. So, you know, you can make it a modern stadium and keep it like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's lots of options on the table. I just, you know, I read the story and just I saw the word San Siro and demolish, and that, you know, that got me going straight away. But guys, just before we wrap up, I want to announce the winner of our competition. We've been running a competition for a couple of weeks now for a fantastic gift, which has been donated by the North Curve. You can find them on Twitter at the North Curve. And what it is it's a retro Juventus pillow. And I'm sure you guys have seen it on our Twitter. It's our pinned tweet. Thank you to every single one of you who entered. There was lots of entrants. But the winner is Luca Santoro from London. So, Luca, I'll be reaching out to you to get a delivery address, and you'll be receiving that directly from the North Curve. So thanks for playing, and I hope you enjoy your prize. Now, we've come to the end of this week's episode of Simply Serie A, a slightly shorter one, but given there was no Serie A action, it makes perfect sense in my opinion. Tommy, do you want to let our listeners know how they can follow you on social media?
Yeah, you can follow me. So my personal Twitter again is Tommy97. If you go there now, you probably see a lot of Quagliarella edits, pictures, love hearts, stuff like that. Yeah, and yeah, to follow my work again, 97 or every social media for daily content around football, Premier League and international football and women's football as well.
Brilliant, brilliant stuff. And Vittorio, do you want to let our listeners know how they can follow you and how they can check out your new YouTube channel?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Vittorio Campa. Facebook, just dial Vittorio Campanile and you'll find my Facebook page and my new YouTube channel in English about Lazio and Italian football. Again, you type Vittorio Campanile and you will find me.
Brilliant. And once again, we'll include the link for that in the description, as well as these two gentlemen's Twitter handle, so you can find them with greater ease. My thanks to you both. And I know you're both going to be sitting there biting your nails this week now, hoping that your predictions come true. And I'm desperate to get one up on you guys, you know. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. We'll be back next week. Until then, take care of yourselves. And as they say in Italy, ciao, ciao.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.